I posted something about how we need to stand boldly as Christians and not compromise, but yet speak the truth with compassion and love. So someone put shame on you in the comments under the post. I didn't know if it was someone that knew me or didn't, or, you know, because I have followers that I don't know on there. And so
they obviously did know you.
Yeah, so I sent a private message and I just said, hey, I'm not sure if this was aimed at me or someone else. If I've said something to offend you, can you please let me know? I'd want to, you know, address it. So they did, and they lambasted me. I mean, they just, you know, who do you think you are? And you're judging this and that. Anyway, I responded with love, kindness, gentleness, and then they softened. And then
Could you give us examples of what you said?
Yeah, I just said, look, I said, you're right. I don't understand your world. And you're right. He said, I talk a lot. I said, you're right. I do talk a lot. And I'm sure there are things that I've said that have been unkind, unloving. And for that, I ask that you please forgive me. I said, you're right. I don't understand your world, but there are those who do. And I'd love you to watch these videos if you want. I sent videos of, you know, men's testimonies who had been in the homosexual world and got saved. And I said, if you're ever in the LA area, please let me know. I'd love to invite you over and have lunch, bring you to the ministry. And if there's ever anything I can do to serve you, please let me know. I would take a bullet in your place. God is witness to that. And so he just like totally turned it around and then opened up and told me his struggles and all these things. And then by the end of our dialogue, he said, I just want you to know I've repented. I'm changing my way. And then he ended up changing his profile picture on Facebook from his picture to our Audacity Movies graphic. Why do I love traveling with my wife? I'm so glad you guys asked. Thank you. Well, one of the main reasons is, as I've alluded to before, is she is my snore stopper on planes. I love sleeping on planes. I know, Ray, you've always been jealous and envious of me because of this. I say, you can sleep on planes. I can't sleep on planes. And so you don't travel anymore.
I have noticed some of the other passengers saying they couldn't hear the engines when you were snoring.
You know what? I would not be surprised by that. But, you know, I travel a lot and I like to sleep. Because usually before flights, are you guys this way? Before I travel, I usually only get like 3-4 hours sleep, like at the most. You two are?
If it's an early flight, for sure. Yeah. I mean, if we have a 7 a.m. flight at John Wayne, I would probably wake up at 6:30 and make my way up.
But you probably went to, what? Yeah. Mark and I travel together quite often now, and we're always like, it's always a back and forth. What time should we leave? And Mark's always wanting to go later. I want to go earlier.
I've done that too with you. Easy wants to go a day earlier.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
One time we were going to meet at John Wayne Airport, and he was like, oh, let's get there at 6 a.m. I'm like, the flight's at 4 p.m. What are you talking about?
It's good to be early.
There
baby.
Was a cure to snoring.
A cure?
Sleep apnea.
We both have it, right? Don't we? Yeah. But anyway, my wife stops me from snoring, but there's another thing she does. She helps me during the incessant head bobbing session. You guys ever do that when you're falling asleep? Or you're asleep and you're just... and your head bounces. Like, seriously, I've watched people do it. And I probably do it too. But it's like, it keeps going. Just...
I like that we're a podcast.
I know. No one can hear us. I wish they could hear it.
Wish they could hear it.
What about seeing it?
See it. You know what I mean? Yes, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yes.
But what about you guys ever do the, as you're falling asleep, the body.
Oh, that's horrible.
The jerk. What do you call that thing?
The jerk.
Ooh.
But it's really weird. And also when there's a pig in the room when you wake up, that's weird.
But why do we do that? Now, I've gotten to a place in my sleep pattern where I know that if I start to do that, I'm good. I'm going to fall asleep. Hmm. And I almost always do it now. I do this. It's like I'm falling off a
cliff.
You've got some weird sleep things, though. Let's be honest.
I know, man. Why? Why weirdness in sleep?
It's just part of the fallen creation.
It's just terrible.
Olive sleep, stupid.
Yeah. Olive sleep?
Yeah.
What about apricot sleep?
Yeah, that's good. Olive sleep's great.
My favorite thing is when I'm traveling with these two guys.
It's like olives when you go to sleep.
Mm. You start to fall asleep. And Mark, I love how you're like always throwing food into his mouth.
You know what? This dude's always taking pictures of me when I'm asleep.
I take pictures when he's sleeping.
He's got a whole file on his phone.
I do.
Mark, you have no idea how extensive and long the list of vengeful things I'm going to do to you
70 times 7.
No.
Forgive me.
Not me.
Forgive me.
The Lord forgive you. I don't forgive you. But Ray, look, we need to get to the bottom of this.
Bottom of what?
Why?
You'll find out.
Do we need to?
Yeah, we do. Ray, you no longer travel.
Yes.
Okay. You've stopped traveling. Mm-hmm. You don't travel. You stop traveling.
Wait, what's Ray doing?
He doesn't travel.
Oh, so he's not doing it.
Yeah, he stopped traveling.
For those who are listening, you should know Ray will be like, yeah, I'll drive 4.5 hours. Would you jump on an airplane for 45 minutes?
No.
No.
Of course not.
No, because by the time you drive to the airport, you get to the airport, you get the security. It's 5 hours.
Take your shoes off and all this sort of silliness.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait, and then the plane's delayed. There's a connecting flight, and that's delayed. I know everything that's in Phoenix Airport.
You're so far behind. There's something glorious called TSA pre-check.
Oh, yeah. I did. Thank we did. Lord. When we traveled together a few years ago, we had that. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, but Ray, here's what I want the people to know. Tell the people, Ray, what are some of the most annoying things about air travel?
Just traveling.
Why do you hate it?
I wrote a book called 101 Annoying Things About Air Travel.
Yeah, tell us.
I wrote it on one flight. This is a guy with a tray table, the guy the seat back, the people that pull your hair when they're walking down the aisle, the bags that hit you on the head, the delayed flights, the weird flight attendants. There's all sorts of things. A turbulence, that's a lot of fun. We're going to die, Mark Spence calls out often in turbulence.
We're going
to
die.
It actually all makes sense because I feel like the worst thing you can possibly do with Ray is make him sit down and strap him to his seat and not let him do anything for 3 hours. And that's basically flying.
If only we can get an all-white airplane.
You know, your son, Daniel, Ray, he said, you know, I've often doubted your salvation, Mark, but the moment that I realized you were a Christian was when we were on a flight together and we had such bad turbulence, we thought the plane was going down, and I heard you yell out, let's do this! I thought, maybe he is born again.
Let's do this.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there are a whole lot of things. There's the air that you breathe, the food that you eat, the germs on the plane. Talk to Ken Ham about germs on planes. He's just paranoid. There's just, you know, on that tray table, everyone touches it and stuff like that. Yeah, there's so many things that are just crazy. I just got to say why I don't fly. I've been on 2,000 flights, and I just said one day, that's enough.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I put in my time.
Yeah.
Now I have the internet. I'll make videos, click a button, millions of people.
That's it. And I'm with my wife, too. I've left her for 30 years by herself. Now I don't want to leave her with a crazy dog.
This is your first wife, right?
Yeah. It's number one.
Yeah.
Solomon's.
Yeah. You know, I almost got killed on a plane. Our last flight, actually, Rachel and I were coming back from Washington, and they were about to take off, but I really had to use the restroom. And so I got up. I thought, I'll ask you know, the stewardesses are by the door. So I go up and I go. So I'm walking to go back, and this guy had his foot out, and I didn't see it. I went right, and the foot was like that. So I kicked it with my foot, and it went back.
His foot?
Yeah. And he's all, It wasn't one of those gracious, like, oh, he's like,
Is he mad at you?
Man, yeah.
I'm identifying with this.
I put my hand on his shoulder. I go, I'm so sorry I didn't see. He didn't give me any consolation, you know? So,
he's all,
yeah, I almost got killed. But yeah, flying is...
it's in a tin...
I enjoy traveling.
It's in a tin can with 200 people.
I enjoy almost everything about flying. Of course, sitting long, but I can read, I can listen to audio, you're going places. Mark, how do you feel about that?
You know, it's a good time to say we travel and speak in churches and events and conferences and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to our Living Waters website.
Yeah.
And you'll see how to invite us out.
I'm flying to Colorado tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, we would love to. Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. We'd love to speak as we're able. So invite Ray.
Zoom.
Zoom. Yeah, I'll do a Zoom meeting.
Love Zooms.
Yeah, Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. All right, friends. Here's a comment from Dugos. Love this podcast. This is for sure one of my favorite podcasts. I love how y'all fit humor into every episode alongside God's incredible word. There have been so many episodes that have really spoken to me and helped me remember God's promises through hard times. Keep it up, y'all. God bless. So good to know we have Southern fans out there. Thank you, Dogos. That's a blessing to us. And friends,
Did he say he's from the South? Because we're trying to spread y'all, and we may have been doing it.
Maybe we are. Can you imagine if we are responsible for spreading y'all to the West?
I'm into it.
Y'all place.
Y'all. All right, friends.
You could rap, y'all.
Yeah, y'all. I'm going to make a call. Never going to stop. Never going to stall. Always having fun in life. I'm going to have a ball. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm so enthralled. I love y'all. Y'all.
And that's when, at the 8 minute mark, is when we lost the listeners.
Spread the y'all. I love how Mark's like just bopping. He's just doing his thing, answering emails.
You just got to play along. I mean, I absolutely detest rap and everything that ever comes out of your mouth when it comes to music. But you just got to play along. Just enjoy it.
Just pretend. So, yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Romans 8:28.
All right. Anyway, we just recently got some wonderful mugs from some friends of ours. They are Willie and I'm so sorry. We can't tell if this is a T or an L. Lorny
or C or Z
or corny.
It might be a triangle.
Tony, this is another rap.
It's T O R N Y or C O R N Y. Anyhow, thank you guys so much. One of the letters says, to Ray, Mark, Easy, Oscar, and Scotty, thank you for starting the podcast and keeping it up. You guys are like personal friends, and we talk about you on a first name level. That's why we decided to send you guys our mugs on a mug so you. Oh, our mug's on a mug. Got it. So you could get to know us too, at least a little. The serious discussions on the podcast show a zeal for Christ and an earnestness for a righteous life. The banter shows that joy, love, and laughter also have their places in the Christian walk. May you continue to be used by God. Thank you so much.
That's really sweet.
We love the mugs. So grateful for them. And thank you for listening. We'd love to meet you one day. So come by and see us here at Living Waters. I'll mention it in a minute. This podcast is brought to you by Anyone But Me. 10 ways to overcome your fears and be prepared to share the gospel by Ray Comfort. Ray, I like the cover on that book.
So I wasn't listening. I was thinking, hey, you sound like Morgan Freeman.
Give him a hand.
Well, let me tell you, right?
That's nothing close. It's like you've never heard Morgan Freeman in your life.
That's Tom Cruise.
My name is Morgan Freeman.
It's getting worse.
Oscar's coffee stinks.
Mark, that was good.
I'm just, yeah.
Mark has given up.
Yeah. Anyway, don't forget Anyone But Me, Ray, good book, Living Waters Mugs, the Evidence Study Bible, all that.
Living Waters.
Whoa, good Oscar, good. LivingWaters.com, Browns. Oh, and Ray put this here so I don't forget to tell you. I almost did, but I won't because it's here and I'm holding it.
Science says Christians live longer than unbelievers. This booklet will tell you why.
It's a new booklet. And I was thrilled to see something that's not very publicized, but Christians live nearly 10 years longer than non-Christians.
Really?
All backed up by science. Now, who isn't going to be interested in that? Because, like I've said before, we have literally millions of people right at this moment in these torture chambers called gyms, and other people drinking green slime because they want to live longer. They want to keep healthy. But here's how they can live at least 10 years longer by just adhering to what? That little booklet tells you.
Wow.
It's quite incredible.
Wunderbar.
There's actually nothing magic about it. You know what it is? I'll let the little cat out of the bag.
Hey.
Is that we don't
drink. I'm allergic to cats.
You are?
No.
Mark, what do you think of cats?
I love cats.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't eat a whole one.
Just awful. Sorry, ladies.
Anyway.
It's the real cat out of the bag. Anyway, Christians don't live dangerous lifestyles. We don't drink alcohol. You can if you want, but drunkenness, there's drugs.
Ray just offended millions of Christians.
There's drinking and driving. There's all sorts of things that we don't do because our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, so we don't risk things. And so it's got all the statistics of how many people die each year through doing these risky behaviors that Christians don't touch.
If Christians stopped going in public, they'd live way longer, don't you think?
Yes, that's true.
Seriously, if you don't drive, you don't walk on the street, you don't breathe, you
really long. Well, I don't know. I heard of a lady who was lying in bed and a car came screaming through her.
That would happen to you.
Why are we laughing at that?
That would happen to you,
right?
He would be the one driving the car.
And the one in bed.
Actually, you would do that, Ray. That's what I should have said. Yeah. Anyhow, friends, that's what that is. Ray, you've solved so many problems in life. How to overcome insomnia, how to overcome panic attacks, how to live longer, how to put a hole in your bed and sleep.
Remember what we found. Someone sent me that thing. There's actually a bed with a hole in it, a mattress with a hole in it.
An inflatable.
Yes, an inflatable.
Well, for people that had surgery on their bottom.
Furthest part.
Yeah. Anyway, Browns. Oh, by the way, today we've discovered something new. When your mailman comes the next time, read what's on his back. U.S. smell.
That's very good.
All right, friends. I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, we know. Time to start the show. All right, today, how can Christians
use... Do we have captions on our videos to say that what you're actually saying? Because there's so much that you say is so fast and so slurred.
But like, the captioning people wouldn't understand it anyway, so it doesn't matter. All right, today, how can Christians use the internet to share the gospel? Ray, you're a very weird person.
True. Thank you.
And I was thinking about that today, like, there are certain things in life that, like, make me realize God's existence distinctly, you know? Like, I'll look at someone like, okay, God exists. Mm. The fact that you're...
Wait for it.
No, this is very normal. Don't build it up.
Yes.
It should be normal. Your undying zeal for evangelism is to me such evidence that God is real, because it's so evident that he has wired you for this, because I know it's not something that you are naturally excited about, but it's a calling God has given you that has mobilized the church of today in a big way and is continuing to. Why? You never stop. Stop it.
Look, I'm a normal biblical Christian. That's how every Christian should love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength, love his neighbor as himself, and be zealous to reach the lost with every means he can. And the internet's a wonderful means. And the whole thought that I thought when I thought about this was, don't despise small beginnings. I think it's in Zechariah, the scripture says, who with reason, this is the Amplified Bible, so I'm saying it a little louder. Who with reason despises the day of small things or beginnings.
It's Ray's life verse.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's my life verse. But I'm thinking, like, if you want to reach ones for the lost, start a podcast. You say, well, I got nothing to say. Of course you have. You can expound scripture. Say, who's going to listen? Who's going to watch? Or maybe one or two people, your aunt, your uncle, or someone like that. But don't despise the day of small beginnings.
Mm.
You know, just think of it being like a seed. Just when I wrote my first book, I wasn't an author. I got failed in English in school, so I didn't know how to write, but I had this passion that drove me for 3 nights to write my first book. And the scripture that...
Wait, did I hear that correctly?
Okay.
For three nights?
Hold on.
How long did it take you, Easy?
Okay, we have to pause here.
It took you 3 days to write a book?
3 nights.
His first book.
Days?
His first book.
We have to pause here. You make me so mad. Right now. You know what? Last night, I was thinking through my book. I was almost in tears because I'm looking at samples of the cover. And those of you that have been listening for a long time, Oscar's yawning already. He's so tired of hearing this. But those of you that have been listening to the podcast for a long time, you know I've been working on a book forever.
What's it called? I'm in.
Oh,
what's it called?
Oh, I almost got you. I shouldn't have
said it. Yeah, there was a delay there.
Oh, man.
It was a delay. But what's the name of the book? I was thinking.
Fight Like a Man.
Yes.
A Bold Biblical Battle Plan for Personal Purity. Anyway, I'm looking at the first rounds of cover design that my publisher sent me. And I'm looking at it and it's so beautiful. I mean, the cover, the art is just so nice. And I'm seeing at the top an endorsement by John MacArthur, which is going to say, every man needs the help that this book offers.
Why is John MacArthur talk so slowly?
Every
got a problem?
Offers guy this.
It's a robot. It's AI.
But I'm looking at that. I'm looking at, you know, forward by Ken Ham. Ray, you've endorsed it. So many other respected, well-known godly leaders have endorsed it. I'm thinking, Lord, thank you. And then suddenly my mind went back to all the work I've done on this thing. And I seriously felt trauma. I felt trauma. Because, again, 2.5 years of writing every single day. Yeah, I wrote a book in 3 days. No, three nights.
3 nights.
First book. Yeah.
And it was like a bestseller in New Zealand, right?
Yeah. And the scripture that came to heart to me for writing the book was, commit your ways to the Lord and he'll establish your thoughts. And I just stood on that. And my thoughts got established over 3 nights, kept writing and writing. And then when it came to the cover, I just said, okay, do a cover. Red heading. We'll have a guy shooting up. And it became a bestseller. No trauma.
I mean, it's New Zealand, so it takes like 15 books to be a bestseller.
Yeah. I've been printing, reprinting the cover. I've sent it to dozens of people for their thoughts. I'm still working through it.
Yeah.
Ray Comfort, stop it.
Yeah. So what was the question?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Oh, don't The Spy is the Day of Small Beginnings.
That's right.
Mm. First book was just nothing. I didn't know how to write. First track I ever did was a bit pathetic. And the first video we ever made for YouTube was just nothing special. But it just happened. So trust the Lord. Commit your way to Him. He'll establish the thought. Start your little podcast. Start your little Facebook posts. Write something from the scriptures. And you don't know what's going to come from that because the internet's quite amazing.
Yeah. Well, I've talked before about when I learned what you were all about when I listened to that Comfort's Favorite tape that you put together.
Oh, that's right. Comfort's it was favorite. A mess.
And that was the like, obviously done at home on your home recorder. And between every segment.
There was no editor. I didn't know how to edit. What I used to do is cut the tape with a little sharp knife and glue it together with ordinary Scotch tape.
That's the only way. That sounds exactly like something you would do.
That's why when I listened to it, it went.
That's the only
that was the sound of Scotch tape.
There's no other way to do it. I had no one to help me, so I just did it myself.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is just do it.
Yeah.
Nike. I like Nike, easy.
Yeah, stay away from perfectionism. It's a killer.
That's true.
And it's something easy you fight, and you've admitted it, and I don't have any problem with it whatsoever.
I do fight. Yeah, you're far from perfect.
I just read something that was so good. It was talking, and it hit me, because you and I struggle with that same thing of perfectionism or needing to get it right. And it's this this study. This teacher was a photography teacher in college, and so he took his class and he divided it into two. And the first section of the class, their responsibility was to deliver one photo, their best photo of the semester. That's it. Like, all semester long, all you had to turn in was one picture. Mm. The other half of the class, their only responsibility in A was to turn in as many photos as possible. 100 photos, 1,000 photos, whatever. Through and through, the people who turned in the 1,000 photos had the best images than the students that turned in the one photo. And the point that this author was making was repetition will get you closer to perfection than preparation.
Could you say that again?
Repetition will get you closer to perfection than preparation.
Can you say that again?
Repetition will get you closer to perfection than preparation.
Repetition is the mother of knowledge. It's a great saying. Though you repeat something, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, but seriously, if you aim at perfection, you just can't do it because you're a human being.
Yeah. No, and you guys have been a big help to me in this regard, in that you remind me, you know, Mark, in fact, the other day just said something, just be careful of perfection. And I need to hear that because I am by nature a perfectionist, and I don't like Mark again yesterday. And who else? Who caught me? I'm just always straightening things and doing
it. Well, how do you look in the mirror each day? And
I'm always trying to. Seriously, when I do, I'm like, I wish I could fix this on my face. but no, it's true. I think perfectionism obviously has its place, and without perfectionists, I think that there would be a lot of shortcomings in the world. They're needed at the right time and the right way.
We love to give things away. We love to give things away. And that's why we will do that every single day here on the Living Waters podcast. That's right, friends. We're giving away goodies for those of you who go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form. We are giving 10, believe it or not, 10 different people each week goodies from Living Waters, $100 value for each box. You'll get tracts and books and a podcast mug and all kinds of good things. So make sure to participate at livingwaters.com/podcast. And make sure to listen to the very end of the podcast where you will hear the announcement of the winners every week.
Yeah.
Mari right. Smith, my wonderful friend from New Zealand, who you know, said something to me I've never forgotten. I hope I don't forget it now. He said, aim at the moon, and if you clear the trees, you're doing fine.
Wow, that's good.
And I thought, that's just great. Because I often aim at the moon. I don't get as where I want to get, but I've got somewhere.
That's yeah. I you know, to this day, I still have not been able to figure out what the lie is that Murray keeps perpetuating. What?
Aim at the moon. If you get over the trees, you're fine. Unless you're an astronaut.
Yeah, right.
But do you know what it is, Ray? What the lie that Murray continues to try to perpetuate?
What, saying I'm a nice or something? What
no.
is it? Come on.
Murray's myth. What is
that? That is terrible. Please don't do that noise. Carry on.
I love that noise. Anyway, we're not even on the subject. You guys, what are you doing?
Bad.
So we're talking basically about, and I saw this online and I really loved it. It's called digital evangelism.
Oh.
Biblical evangelism, digital evangelism.
Digital yourself or did someone help you?
How about this? Biblical digital evangelism.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many people do you think the Apostle Paul reached during his lifetime? I have no idea. What do you...
After his lifetime?
No, yeah, during his lifetime, though.
I'd say in the thousands.
In the thousands?
Thousands. But think of, yeah, think of,
Did he reach 100,000 people? I mean, that's probably stretching.
That would be. I'd say probably 10,000 people.
You know, I was looking at Ray's second channel, Ray Comfort Just Witnessing, and the channel's blowing up. If you don't know anything about our YouTube channel, we have our main channel, and then we have our second channel, which is called Ray Comfort Just Witnessing, which is just witnessing clips that Ray has put together. It goes out twice a day to share the gospel, records it on his little phone.
Every second day.
And uploads it every second day.
Yeah.
And I was looking, we had one the other day for 140,000 or so. Do you follow?
Yeah, there's 1.3 million.
I mean, that's crazy. One video reaching more people than the Apostle Paul.
That's
what the Apostle Paul would do to have the
So the reason that
today.
Channel exists is because it's the not-so-perfect witnessing session.
Yeah. I mean, you started the channel not long ago, Ray, and you sent me something the other day which like got over 9 million views now.
19 million.
Oh, 19. Sorry. 19 million. That's right. And it's 140,000 subs or more?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just very, very encouraging.
And again, that started small, right? It was a new channel, and there were thoughts like it may not succeed, it may not do well, it may not, but you just kept at it, and it's that consistency that blesses.
And we uploaded this video, Ray uploaded this video 5 days ago, 651,000 views.
I'm all one person.
I'm one lady trying to rate your husband. Guys, I'm so desensitized to these numbers anymore, and it's sad. It breaks my heart that I am. I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I'm sad for you.
600,000.
Seriously, if we get a video that has 50,000 views on after 2 weeks, we think we failed.
Yeah.
It's just stupid.
50,000 people. So, all right. So let's jump into it. Digital evangelism. What are ways that we can use this amazing modern technology to reach the world?
Earlier today, I wrote up the gospel, and I didn't done it years ago, but I wrote up the gospel, and I put it up on my Facebook page three hours ago, and I posted it, and people are sharing it and liking it. Now, here's the thing. People could say, look, I don't have a Facebook page. I said, well, create a Facebook page. Put the gospel on there, pin it to the top, and you never need to come back. Somebody can stumble upon your page and get the gospel. And you don't need to know about it. And this side of heaven, that'd be so great. It has 80 shares, 148 likes, and only 4 comments. It's the gospel.
Wow. Yeah, but you go back in a year's time and you'll see what's happened.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it'll be removed from Facebook in a year from now. Yeah, that's great, Mark. So that's one way. So social media, you got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got Ray Comfort's
Not Twitter.
Hand. X, right?
The X. Yeah, Mark put a gospel presentation on his Facebook page. You say, I don't know how to do that. You can go to any of our tracts and cut and paste the gospel message.
Yeah, there you go.
They're not copyright. Just that's go right. in, just block it, copy it, and that's yours.
They are copyright, but we give you permission to do
it. Yeah, that's it. They're copyright, but give permission because there's something more important than copyright to us, and that's to get the gospel to the unsaved.
Yeah, so, we copyright so that atheists don't take our stuff and twist it and do things that there are reasons to do that. But we give permission for people to do that.
And also, another thing you can do is you can go in and find a nasty comment on a Christian channel, just the nastiest, disgusting thing. Just write back to the person and say, hey, thanks for watching anyway. Hope your day's going well. Can I answer any of your questions?
That's good.
Wow. That person could write back and say, yeah. My parents are hypocrites, and I think the church is full of hypocrites. And then you just go back and say, well, hypocrite means pretender. Did you know that? There's a lot of pretenders within the church, but there's the genuine thing. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater and then explain what that means.
That poor baby.
You know, I just had a thought, you know, about, first of all, what the Lord can do through us reaching out digitally. And what a strange idea, right? If you told someone this back in the day of Christ, hey, I'm inside a room, I've been I've been talking to someone, seeing their face, interacting with them, hearing their voice. And we've been doing this for 2 years.
In New Zealand, 7,000 miles away.
On the other side of the planet, I've never, ever once seen them, never been near them. And then one day, if you do meet that person physically, it's like you've known each other for decades. Mm. I mean, it's just mind-blowing that we could do that. One of the most, I think, impactful encounters I had online was through Facebook. And I had posted something back when they were, that couple had refused to bake a cake for a gay wedding, remember? And they got in trouble and all that. And it was a big thing. So anyway, I posted
something
about it.
We got them out here. Do you remember?
Oh, that's right. Yes. They came to one of the movie premieres.
It was the one on homosexuality, which we called
Audacity.
Audacity, right. Yes. Yeah. And we had a big premiere at Jack Ibbs's church, and they came. It was wonderful.
That's right. Yeah. So I remember... I posted something about how we need to stand boldly as Christians and not compromise, but yet speak the truth with compassion and love. So someone put shame on you in the comments under the post. I didn't know if it was someone that knew me or didn't, or, you know, because I have followers that I don't know on there. And so
they obviously did know you.
Yeah, so I sent a private message and I just said, hey, I'm not sure if this was aimed at me or someone else. If I've said something to offend you, can you please let me know? I'd want to, you know, address it. So they did, and they lambasted me. I mean, they just, you know, who do you think you are? And you're judging this and that. Anyway, I responded with love, kindness, gentleness, and then they softened. And then
Could you give us examples of what you said?
Yeah, I just said, look, I said, you're right. I don't understand your world. And you're right. He said, I talk a lot. I said, you're right. I do talk a lot. And I'm sure there are things that I've said that have been unkind and unloving. And for that, I ask that you please forgive me. I said, you're right. I don't understand your world, but there are those who do. And I'd love you to watch these videos if you want. And I sent videos of, you know, men's testimonies who had been in the homosexual world and got saved. And I said, if you're ever in the LA area, please let me know. I'd love to invite you over and have lunch, bring you to the ministry. And if there's ever anything I can do to serve you, please let me know. I would take a bullet in your place. God is witness to that. And so he just like totally turned it around and then opened up and told me his struggles and all these things. And then by the end of our dialogue, he said, I just want you to know I've repented. I'm changing my way. And then he ended up changing his profile picture on Facebook from his picture to our Audacity Movies graphic.
Boy, I wish you would read the letters back and forth, because you're not doing justice to the communication that you had with
Maybe,
this man.
You know what we should do? We should have our producers add a link to your social media where that, or are you, don't you have that written out somewhere?
I have it, but we'll see. Maybe we could do that.
If
we do
it,
it'll be in there. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Possibly. Boy. Yeah. But anyhow, it just was, and I share this in one of my sermons that I share all around the country. And it's just an example of how we can, I've never met this guy in person, but through that interaction online, through using that technology, God impacted a person.
Wow.
You know?
I mean, who couldn't melt with such love? Mm.
I will say this. Maybe not everybody should pursue social media in that kind of a way. Because social media has its dangers and pitfalls. You know, there's this story I think I've shared with you guys personally, but I've never shared it. I don't think I've ever shared it on here. There is this young man named Nicholas Perry. He was a YouTuber, and he was like this vegan violinist, weighed maybe like 120 pounds. And he spent a year trying to grow his audience, and nothing happened. And then after about a year of failing to get an audience, he recorded himself eating an entire meal, and everyone loved it. They started saying, eat this, eat this, eat this. And before you know it, someone challenged him to eat an entire McDonald's menu. And so he does it. Fast forward, that soft-spoken, kind, thin-framed kid is now this brash, overweight YouTube star. And I mean, when I say overweight, I mean like it is beyond obesity. He drives around in like one of those little carts because he can't even walk anymore. Yeah. And his disposition and his personality is just so despicable. One author online talking about him said the rampant appetite for attention caused the person to be subsumed by the persona. And here's why I'm saying this is because social media pulls out the worst in us, and it causes us to mirror and mimic the people who are following us. And there's this guy's name is Nick Accato. There's the Nick Accato of Christianity out there. Like, I remember there's...
We're going to follow him.
Don't do it.
No, I've seen him. It's bad. It's heartbreaking.
But there's the Nick Accatos of Christianity. You know, I remember following this very kind, well-balanced, gracious pastor. And he was great. He was winsome. And then one day he just started becoming much more rhetorical. Less winsome, more rhetorical. And his following blew up. He became a rhetorical monster. And so the reason why I'm saying this is that social media isn't just a tool that is waiting for us to use it. Social media has its own goals. It's got its own means of pursuing them. And social media will transform you. It will change you. And so my like caution is that not everybody should use social media in that kind of a way, because our souls are not meant for fame. And when we have an audience, it tends to start to affect us, our motives. And so I would say this, first things first, if you're not evangelizing privately, you're not ready to evangelize publicly.
Well, that's a good point.
Because Ray is like the person who I know that, the camera or no camera, the man is preaching the gospel. I'll show up here and there'll be a painter, and he is the first one to go over there and preach the gospel. And so if you aren't, if this isn't incessant in your private life, that is just what you are doing, I would caution that maybe you're not ready to do it publicly.
Yeah. You know, another angle on that, Oscar, that's really good is, you know, sometimes I think we can recognize, wow, I've allowed this to become sinful, or I've adopted sinful attitude in the midst of it. And you know, there are some people, they have baggage from the past. Maybe it was pornography issues or it was whatever. And so there are some, I think, that should be extremely cautious. But then there are those instances where we recognize, okay, I can maintain the proper attitude and approach. I just need to repent of what's in my heart and then approach it. What do you think of that, Mark? Like, just checking ourselves in that regard.
I think that's a great idea. Also, I don't think there's anything wrong with necessarily putting up a post and then walking away, right? You're not seeking after the fame, right? I mean, check your heart in the midst of that. And also, I would hesitate telling somebody not to do something public if they're not doing private. If they go, well, I just want to post the message, but I'm not sharing the gospel. I'm not going out. I'm not going door to door. I'm not sharing the gospel with a sales clerk. Well, I can't put it on my Facebook post, you know, because I'm not. So I just, obviously you're not saying that, right? There's a balance in the midst of it. I think motive has a lot to do with it as well. But I think that we can overthink our motive in the midst of sharing.
I'm thinking of the mom with two kids and she's busy all day and she feels condemned that she's not witnessing, not getting on the soapbox and preaching. She just feels she's doing nothing because day after day she's looking after the kids. But you could have 10 minutes. You can just jump on the computer and just post a little gospel, answer somebody, or say, Jesus is who you need to seek if you want everlasting life.
Totally.
Just one sentence like that.
Right.
Jesus is the only one that the Bible says destroyed death, or was the only one that destroyed death. Here's a Bible reference. Check it out.
Yeah. Love that. And I think, too, in keeping with that, you know, sometimes we can be doing something and then get convicted to what Oscar's talking about and realize, wow, I'm doing this online, but I'm not sharing in private. I need to start doing that, too. You know, and then
it can embolden you to see someone who's offended by the gospel come back and say something that you can answer, and they soften up, like what happened to you.
Right.
It can give you courage.
And but man, such good points being made by you guys, because I've always said this too, in keeping with what Oscar's talking about. Like, sometimes we get this idea of, you know, like missionaries. I want to go and be a missionary on the mission field. And they're not sharing the gospel at home. It's like, you're a doctor, you know how to help sick people, there's sick people all around you, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go help those sick people over there. Well, yeah, that's great, but are you also helping the sick people around you? And maybe you're heading to be a missionary, but maybe let that conviction set in and say, I need to begin to share the gospel. So I love us just touching on all the different angles on that.
I checked out that guy that you mentioned, and I regret even looking at it. It is so disgusting. And what sickens me is the people that are feeding him and supporting him.
Yeah,
because he's going to be dead. He's going to die young.
It's very tragic, and you know, he was extremely like thin, And you wouldn't recognize the before and after. It's horrific. And he what he does is he sits and he'll eat on his YouTube channel. He'll just gorge himself. This is a big thing that people do now. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and the problem with him, what they would call, it's a social dilemma. It's called audience capture, which means when someone begins to mirror their audience's demands, postures or interest. And so again, that soft-spoken disposition of winsomeness will get you five likes. But that rhetorical, rigid, not winsome, you're only gaining the audience that already agrees with you is going to get you 1,000 likes. And so the reason why I bring that up is because that's a physical representation of our souls when we hand them over to audience capture.
Yeah. And when he dies, they'll just move on to someone else to entertain.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So let's get a little more specific of ways people can do it, reach the lost through social media. So YouTube. Okay, so Ray, someone...
Never heard of it.
Yeah, you're right. So someone wants to do YouTube. What do you advise they do? How do you advise them that they start even?
Well, you can, if you have got the boldness, just go out and say to people, can I interview you for YouTube? And some people will say yes. People don't realize, but at Huntington Beach, 50 people turn us down to one that comes on camera. Mm. 50 people. You have to get used to rejection. Local college, 1 in 20 will come on camera. It's just kind of different dynamic, maybe because the dog's there and I've got to know them a little bit and chatted with them. But just say, start it off with, do you think there's an afterlife? And just record them and put it on YouTube, create your own channel. And you can edit. I edit on iMovie. iMovie has been oxygen for me as a human being because I'd sit behind Mark as he was using Final Cut Slow. And Mark would do as quick as he could, but it was just really slow, wasn't it, Mark?
I had to render.
Yeah, I had to render. Oh, I remember the rendering. Horrible.
render on DeCesar.
Oh, it's terrible. But with iMovie, me, someone who's got no skill,
it's true,
can edit a movie. It's true. It doesn't. It's just been made for idiots and not for what I do. I do a lot of editing on it, but it's just for making little family movies. That's what it's for. You know, showing the dog jumping around. But it's been wonderful for me, and people can do that. Just learn how to just get a tutorial on YouTube, how to use iMovie, and you'll learn how to use it in half an hour. And you can edit your own movies. Sound,
so,
music.
So just go out, just start interviewing people, start a channel, put up a video, and just keep doing it and see what happens.
And pray. Say, God, please use this. And you never know, some celebrity might stumble on your channel, share a link or something like that, and you're there.
Yeah. And in fact, you can use YouTube itself, like you said, Ray, to show you how to engage on YouTube, and you can learn how to make videos. Mark, I'd love you to speak to the social media aspect. I've always respected how savvy you are on there and how knowledgeable you are. But you'll do like YouTube Shorts as an example, or you'll create memes that you'll put up on your different social media platforms. So how can people do that and be effective?
You'd be surprised how far things go. I remember putting a meme up on my Facebook page, and you have the backdoor analytics you can see, and it said that it reached 14 million people.
Wow.
14 million people. That is, I can't even fathom how big that number is.
I admire the guy that counts them.
So a meme is just a picture with something quaint that's being written on there. You could do scripture. You go to your Twitter or your Instagram, you put quotes, and we put scripture on there, and the Word of God is living and powerful. You want to just encourage people.
And go to YouTube, tells you how to create a meme, and you can get the nice little backgrounds and little borders you can make for them, the colors. It's all very
there's a
easy
website that I like to use. It's called Canva, canva.com, I believe. It walks you through on how to create a meme, where you just kind of drag and drop pictures and text, and it does all the work for you, and then you just export it and upload it.
Yeah,
yeah, a cute puppy with a Bible quote. That can get people's attention.
Right. Yeah, you know, Rachel started using Canva years ago, and she started a little Facebook page, and then went to Instagram, and now she's got about 85,000 followers.
Awesome. What's it called?
It's called Joyful Mothers.
Wow.
Yeah, Joyful Mothers. And she started out doing that, and it just grew and grew and grew, and God has blessed it. And so, yeah, just Canva's a great, great example.
Full confession, I'm the only one of the host that does not have public social media profile.
Which is kind of funny because you're the youngest and hippest and should be on top of all
that. I just, it feels like it's so time consuming, But with that said, I will say I love the way you guys use your time well. And it has, if I was going to start a public social media, it would be in light of how you guys use it, because I do think that you guys use it really, really well. I just need to turn the corner in my mind and just do it, as Ray always says.
Well, you've got a name like Oscar. You could pull in a catchy phrase there to call it something.
Oscar the Grouch. I just came up with that.
You know,
Oscar on the couch.
Oscar.
Just me eating McDonald's.
Just by reading this, you get an Oscar.
Yeah. Oscar, you know, years ago, I was kind of the same way. I never tapped into social media. I hated the noise. I felt it was just noise.
Yeah.
And so, but Mark and I talked, and we're like, man, you know, I'm the president of this ministry. We're very, you know, we're a very public ministry on social media. And he's like, man, you got to do it. And I remember you're at my house, and Mark just started a Facebook account for me, you know? And
he's pushed me to it too.
Yeah. And I made a commitment. I said, I'm never going to send out a friend request on Facebook to anyone. I had different reasons for it. And I never did. But then I started my public page. That's, you know, got thousands of people now on it. And it's a joy to me when I think about how many I can impact and encourage and stir through just a click of a button, you know, so.
And think of this podcast. Seriously, we didn't know what we were doing.
True.
We could hardly figure out what a podcast is a few years ago. What is a podcast? And we just did it and people loved it.
That's true. Yeah. And now it's one of the top podcasts in the world.
And people are being helped by it, believe it or not.
Yeah. It's been so encouraging. And yeah, so even a podcast, right? Just there are things that you have burning on your heart to talk about, just start it.
If you've got four brothers and you're a woman, sit down and chat with your four brothers about life and marriage.
If you got something burning in your heart, get some Tums. Then
I love Tums.
Smart.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Tums backwards for those of you that don't know. Why did Ray Comfort just randomly say smut? Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Easy. Yes. Okay. So I found this online for ideas of how to spread the gospel through social media. It says share Bible verses on social media. That's something that's easy to do. And there are a lot of, you know, memes out there that you could just, you know, just take and put
and
on.
God's word doesn't return void.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Share scripture videos, you know, and also videos that share the gospel. We have plenty of those. You know, if you just take our videos and then share them again, people will, they'll see the gospel and they'll hear the truth. Share sermons. That's another way.
And if you're going to share one of our videos, don't say, watch this. Say, love to know what you think of this. That's all we have to do.
It's good
appeal to the ego rather than telling them what to do.
I'd love
to know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That is something that we've seen works. I'd love to hear your thoughts. That's like, it's not just, hey, watch this. It's like, I want to hear back from you. So they're going to be compelled to check it out. You could share Bible studies. You could share daily devotionals. You could share Bible teachings. I mean, there's so much that you can do. But I think the bottom line is, Ray, when your heart is set on obeying the Lord as his disciple to fulfill the Great Commission, God's going to give you creativity as you just take steps and not be perfectionistic, but just do it.
I met a lady on the pier last Saturday, and it just thrilled my heart. She had a couple of dogs that she had dyed pink.
Seriously?
It was just food dye that she had used. It's harmless. And there's these pink dogs. Every second step, she had to stop while a stranger said, whoa, pink dogs. And she was giving out gospel tracts.
Wow.
So, we saw them. I took my boys down to Huntington Beach and we saw them as well.
So if you've got a kid, or just dye it pink. If you've got a husband, if you've got a husband, dye him pink. Put him in a stroller. People are going to stop you.
Boy.
But she said she's met so many strangers because those pink dyed dogs.
Wow.
I mean, my dog died too.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh,
so. Yeah. Wow. I wonder how PETA would respond if they saw her dogs pink. Dyed pink.
People for eating tasty animals?
Yes. All right, friends. Well, hey, we hope we've encouraged you today. The moral of the story is do something, do something, do something. Was that Winston Churchill?
Spurgeon.
Oh, it was a Spurgeon. Mm. Yeah.
He said this, while societies and unions are making constitutions, I've forgotten how the quote goes.
I see the brain turning.
It's the worst when you get started.
Yeah, I thought I knew what was, it's just gone.
Yeah. All right, Fran, don't forget to check out Anyone But Me, 10 Ways to Overcome Your Fear and Be Prepared to Share the Gospel by Ray Comfort. And don't forget, science says Christians live longer than unbelievers. This booklet will tell you why. Ryan Comfort going to live 400. I'm going to rent myself in bubble wrap. Right? Like, wherever I go. All right, friends. Like I said, you all have helped us become one of the top podcasts in the world. Thank you. Keep doing it. Keep sharing, telling others. Give us your comments, thoughts, suggestions, podcast@livingwaters.com.
Subscribe.
Go to the platform where you listen. Oh, subscribe. Yeah, that's a fun thing. Go to that platform and subscribe and tell us and do all kinds of fun things. Thank you. Oh, don't forget the Living Waters mug. That was decided by Bob at livingwaters.com. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you here next time on the Living Waters podcast, where we still have no idea what we're doing. Wheezy! Winners, winners, winners. That's you, friends. Those of you who I'm about to announce are the winners of this week's podcast giveaway on the Living Waters podcast. We've got Carlos from Lamont, California, Daniel from Jamestown, North Carolina, Ed Washburn from Tennessee, David Norwood from North Carolina, Doug Campobello from South Carolina, Ali from Falls Church, Virginia, Adrian from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Joshua from Excelsior Springs, Missouri, Eva from Bow Island, Canada, and Penelope from Bardwell Park, Australia. Shout out to the Aussies and the Canadians out there. Friends, you can get this too. Those of you who are listening, just share the word and sign up for the Living Waters podcast.